early in the morning on the Sea of Galilee can be a frightening time. The Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias, sits down in a depression or a bowl below sea level in the Jordan River Valley, running north to south. Early in the morning, the water can do strange things. During the evening, the winds blow in off of Mount Hermon down into the Rift Valley, down into the Sea of Galilee, causing the waves to rise. And any boat that's going along the northern shore can easily be blown out into the middle of the lake. Then, as daybreak begins to come along, you see up in the sky the reds and the purples and the oranges of the sun, but you don't see the sun because in the east you have this mountain range that makes the east walls of the Jordan River Valley. And since you're down below sea level there on the Sea of Galilee, you cannot see the sun for almost an hour after it can be seen up on the plain. So up above you, you have the sky lit and the clouds reflecting all sorts of neat, interesting light, and you see a blue sky, but you don't see a sun in the early morning. And that can generate a dew and a haze and a fog. With the condensation of the moisture in the air off the lake in the early morning hours, it can get foggy and kind of spooky. Kind of like in the movie The Fog, when that fog comes rolling in, it can get kind of scary. And so I'm not surprised that after being blown around during the night, suddenly as the morning comes, they see they're far from shore and they see there's incredible bank of cloud around them, and they're out in the middle of the lake, and suddenly come walking to them, they see someone walking on the water. And of course, it therefore makes sense that they would think it's a ghost. It's a ghost coming towards them out of the cloud. It is kind of a frightening scene. And they cry out, "It's a ghost," and Jesus says, "Be courageous. Do not fear, for it is I." And what we don't normally notice in the English, but which is very clear in the Greek New Testament, and therefore would have been clear in the Aramaic from which the stories originally came, is what Jesus says here is a very powerful statement. He doesn't just say, "It's me." He says, "Yahweh, I am." In other words, he says God's name, to articulate that it was him that was there. They were used to Jesus saying, "I am," about himself many times. And so Peter hears this, and therefore he says, "Could it possibly be you, Lord? Could it possibly be you? If it is you, tell me to get out of the boat and walk toward you." So Jesus calls him, and Peter gets out of the boat and stands on the water. And with his eyes focused right on Jesus, he begins to walk. He begins walking, his eyes focused on Jesus, taking step after step of faith, knowing that as he takes steps away from the boat, he's walking toward Jesus, step by step by step. And then suddenly there was a gust of wind. Some gust of wind coming probably from the north, down into the valley, down into the bowl, across the lake. And Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and probably looked down at his feet. And in that moment, when he took the focus of his faith off of his Lord, when he took the focus of his faith off of Jesus, he began to sink. And that's true for all of us. It's one thing to start walking in faith. It's one thing to step out in faith and begin acting in faith. It's one thing to respond to the Word of God, to hear the Word proclaimed, to see it working in your life, and then to step out in faith and start walking. You can do that. It's very easy in the beginning. Your focus is on Jesus. Your focus is on God. Your focus is on the Word of God. Your focus is on the trust of God. Your focus is on the faith of God. So you step out and you start walking, and you're doing fine, and you're walking along, and things are going well, and your focus is on Jesus, and then suddenly something happens. Then suddenly something happens, and you look down. You look around. You take your focus off of Jesus, and you start sinking. It plagues all of us, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Starting in faith is easy. Stepping out in faith can be simple. But when we take our focus off of Christ, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and put them on ourselves or on someone else, or something else, other than His grace, other than His peace, other than His Word, when we take our focus off of Christ Jesus, we're going to start sinking. That is what plagues us. Faith is focused action. Now, we often think of faith as the things that we believe, the doctrines of the church, the dogmas of the church, the affirmations of faith, the articles of religion, those aspects, those proclamations, those doctrines, the this we believe, this we believe, this we believe, this we believe, this we believe. That may be the content, the collection of our beliefs, but it's not saving faith. It may be the intellectual content of what we believe, but it's not saving faith. In the New Testament, saving faith is not a collection of doctrines. Saving faith is an active verb. Now, you'll see in your bulletins, I've listed the Greek New Testament noun for faith. It's pistis. Now, pistis is a powerful word. It means belief. It means trust in its content. It means those doctrines of the faith, the content of the faith. But Greek also has a verb formed from pistis. Now in English we have faith, but then to get a verb you've got to say things like believe, trust, obey. You can't use faith, because it's a noun, as a verb. Well, I can, I do, I make up words. So we've got faith, and then like Greek has pistis, and then pistuo, the verb form, we got faith, and we've got fave, or faving. Wow. Let's get an illustration of this. Here's a chair. Good chair. Powerful pew chair. Made out of metal. Has a nice soft cushion for your posterior. In the back, y'all are sitting on them. I've sat on a bunch. Sat on one over there just a minute ago, but I have not sat in this one. Sounds nice and sturdy. You know, I think this chair will hold my weight. You know, I really and truly believe that this chair will support me. I believe it so much. It's no question in my mind. This chair will support me. But I think I'm just going to go over here and sit down in Jeff's lap. All right? You ready for me? No? He's experiencing pistis. No. That's not faith. Faith is not saying the chair will hold me and then doing something else. Faith is not saying, the chair will hold me, but I'm going to sit in Jeff's lap. No. Faith is active verb form. Pistuo faith is, I believe that chair will hold me, so I'm going to act on it by sitting in the chair. That's faith in this chair. Faith in this chair that it will hold me, that it'll support me. I've taken my belief, that the chair will work, and I put that belief into action by sitting down in the chair. In other words, faith, biblical saving faith, is action based upon belief, supported, undergirded, sustained by confidence. It's like the ABCs of faith. I believe the chair will support me. I have confidence that it will, because I saw it supporting David just a few minutes ago, and I sat in one just like it not long ago myself. We got a whole bunch of them out there that y'all are sitting in. I have good confidence this chair will support me. I believe it'll support me, but until I actually sit in it, I don't have faith that it will support me. Not really. In New Testament terms, one can believe in Jesus Christ. One can say that he rose from the dead. One can say that God was incarnate in Christ. One can say that Jesus' death on the cross for the sins of the world brings forgiveness for all, forgives all sin. One can say these doctrines of the faith, but until one puts one's life into action based upon those beliefs, you don't have anything. Until you take a step of faith, until you place your body into action, you don't have faith. I'm reminded of the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In that movie, Indiana has got to go get the chalice, the cup that was used in the Eucharist, in the first Lord's Supper by Jesus and the disciples. And he has to cross this chasm that looks like there's no way to get across it. His eyesight shows him no bridge, no ropes, no ladders, no nothing. It looks like an empty chasm between here and the other side. But he remembers what his dad had taught him, a quotation from Scripture about how to reach the chalice, and it's that the man of faith will walk on wings of air. And it was a picture showing a man walking across a chasm with nothing underneath him. And so in this moment with his dad dying, because the Nazis had shot him, with his dad dying outside the building, he puts his foot out and goes forward. And before falling into the ravine, his foot hits a ledge that was invisible to the naked eye, that could not be seen because it was so perfectly camouflaged that there was no way he would have seen it until he actually stepped on it. He took a leap of faith. He took a step of faith out into nothingness, and the ledge was there to support him. Then he threw out some dust on it. He could see it. Then he could walk across. Indiana Jones took a step of faith in that scene. He took his belief in the veracity of his father's teachings and understanding on the chalice lore, and he took a step of faith based on that. He stepped out. Faith is active. Faith is active belief. It is belief in action. To faith something is to place your life into motion behind it. To exercise faith is to live your life based upon your beliefs. And that's what the Christian is called to do. That's what we're all called to do. We're called to live our lives based on our beliefs in Jesus Christ. Live our lives according to His will, according to His word, as He calls us to live. Do the things that Jesus called us to do. To accept others, to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the good news to all, to a broken and hurting world that needs to hear the wonderful welcome, that all are welcome in the family of God, and that all sins can be forgiven if only we will say yes to the offered relationship. Unfortunately, it's not easy. We get started in faith, we focus on Christ, we're walking along, our focus gets off, and we stumble, trip, fall, and find ourselves sinking. We begin our lives in faith easily. But then the wind blows, and we find ourselves first ankle deep, then knee deep, then hip deep, then stomach deep, then chest deep, then neck deep, and pretty soon we're under and sinking away. That happened to me last night. I was coming back from Mesquite about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was just coming past the site of the former Texas Stadium. And somebody ahead of me somewhere, I don't know who, I didn't see it happen, dumped some nails and bolts and stuff on the road. And I went over them. And one punctured my right tire and I went flat. So I go skidding, you know, slowly and carefully and rumbling along to a stop there on the side of the road. Well, the flat tire at 2 o'clock in the morning. I get out, I'm angry, I'm fussing, I'm yakking. Remember the movie, The Christmas Story with Peter Billingsley, in which he and his dad, they get a flat tire on the way home from buying a Christmas tree, and they have to go outside to change the tire. And he says, "Time me, I can do it." And he goes outside and he's changing the tire, and mom sends the boy out to help dad. And he comes out and he takes the hubcap and he holds the hubcap and his dad starts putting the nuts in it. And he suddenly hits the hubcap and the nuts go flying into the dark night. And the boy, he says that one word that begins with, well, it kind of sounds like fudge, only it's not. And of course, he gets in trouble and he goes home and his mother makes him wash out his mouth with Lifebuoy. Well, that's what I was doing, fussing and yakking and cursing. Cars would come by, they'd honk at me, they'd flash their lights. And I did my Eric Cartman impersonation. Or my impersonation of the teachers on Peanuts. So here I am trying to change this tire, fussing and yakking and cursing. Down on my knees, ripped the knees of my pants, just mad as can be. Burning up with anger. And then someone comes to a stop, pulls to the side of the road. Some guy in a pickup truck. And I'm kneeling there, you know, fussing with one of those tiny little jacks trying to get it to go up. Not working very well, all stiff because it had never been used before. And he comes up with one of those great, big, wonderful rolling jacks that just slides under the car and da-da-da-da-da, and it was up. Then he pushed me aside and took the nuts off, pulled the tire off, put on that little donut, tightened the nuts up, and would not let me help and would not let me give him any money. Instead, he said, "Pray for me." I said, you better believe I will. And then he left. And I stood there, and I said, "God, I'm getting ready tomorrow morning to preach about faith, about keeping your focus on Christ Jesus. And I let my focus get ripped off by a flat tire." And I got that sense and impression of God kind of laughing with me. I should have done what Peter did. Peter said, "Savior, Jesus, help me." And Jesus reached down and took his hand and helped him back up and into the boat and back to shore. When we get our focus off of Christ, when we get our focus off of Jesus, our calling is clear. Call out to Christ for help. Call out to Jesus for help. Oh, Greg, that's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is. I didn't do it last night. And still, Jesus helped me. When we get our focus off of Jesus, cry out for help. God will provide. Call out for help. and take Jesus' hand. And then the next time you step out of the boat and start walking on the water of faith, the next time you step out of the boat and start walking toward Jesus, keep your focus on Christ Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep your focus on the Word of God. Keep your focus on His grace. Keep your focus on Him. And not on yourself. Not on the waves. Not on the problems. But on Jesus. Keep your focus on His glorious face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.